This weekend starts a short season of a filmed version of Daniel Radcliffe and Joshua Maguire starring in a production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. It was at the National Theatre in London, and it was very, very successful there, and it was filmed. The live stage production was filmed, and it's going to be at Ster-Kinekor Nouveau in Cape Town at the Waterfront on Saturday, on Wednesday and Thursday next week, and on Sunday, the 4th of June. The first three performances are all at 7:30 in the evening, and then on Sunday, the 4th of June, the performance is, or the showing, is at 7:30. It's a 50-year-old play written by Tom Stoppard. It was his debut play. It was written when the Theatre of Absurd was dominant, more Beckett than Shakespeare. One reviewer at the time called it Waiting for Hamlet. And so I asked the two, when they took on the job, did they think, is this going to work? Will it be alive and resonant, this play, still in 2017?
To be honest, I don't think I did think that, because maybe I'm naive and hope, and I, you know, it's Tom Stoppard. I absolutely wanted to do it, but the thing is, it deals with universal themes, you know, life, death, identity, fate, chance, all of those universal themes that don't date, and I knew that the language is just so sparky and exciting in it, and unlike really anything I'd read before, because I hadn't read it, so I definitely was confident that it would work, and it was just about how the production would be interpreted, I guess.
I mean, absolutely. I think actually, when you read it, it's much more than there being any concern about it dating or about anything like that. It's more that you get left with the overwhelming impression of, oh my God, what must this have been like to watch in 1965? As you said, you know, there had been Waiting for Godot before that, but I don't think, you know, people were used to seeing a play like this. Well, I mean, I don't think they are now. I think it's a really unique, amazing piece of work, and it's unlike anything else, and it's funny and irreverent and you know, sort of bastardizes Shakespeare in a very ballsy way for a 26-year-old writer to do. I think it's an incredibly kind of, you know, it's, and absolutely, as Josh said, you know, one thing is certain in life, which is that human beings, for the most part, will always be sort of, you know, overwhelmed by the uncertainty of life and everything like that. And so that's what these guys are experiencing.
I believe Tom Stoppard quite liked it.
Thankfully, yes.
He was with us in rehearsals. He was very heavily involved, so he'd only have himself to blame, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, he was with us heavily first 2 weeks of rehearsals, and he changed certain bits and added certain bits of Shakespeare. So he was very, very, very heavily involved. And he said to us, the last thing he wanted us to do was put on some white gloves and dust it off and treat it reverently. Our main aim, as our director says, was to renew the contract with the play for 2017. I hope that's something that we've achieved.
Daniel, you've obviously done a lot of movie work, and Josh, you have done some, and you've done some television work, and there is supposed to be a great difference in technique between performing on the stage and performing for a camera in terms of size of gesture and economy and so on. When it comes to doing the performance, which is going to be filmed, or I don't know whether there were a series of performances that were filmed, it says live, so probably one performance. Do you have to adjust the performance for that evening when the cameras are rolling?
You're right, it's just one performance, it's as live. We do it with the audience as we normally do, just with the difference of some cameras. But no, the great thing about NT Live is they work around us. They come in to film the production. They don't come in to create a movie version of that stage version. Basically for us, we change nothing, and they create their show around our play, because the whole thing is about having the experience as close as you possibly could to being at the Old Vic on that evening. So for us, we don't change anything, really, I'd say.
No, I mean, and perhaps this is just like sort of lack of training on my part, but like it really doesn't, like I've never found particularly that, you do have to change too much in terms of, you know, sort of, yeah, obviously, look, you have to be able to be heard at the back of the theatre, and so that requires projection, sort of certain, a little more, you know, discipline vocally than you would need to use on film. But I think in terms of the actual acting, I think I can speak for both of us when I say that there's not a huge difference to how we approach performance.
Because no. I absolutely love them. Whenever one comes to South Africa, I'm like absolutely certain to go and see it. And you know, it is theatrical in a sense, because you're aware of the fact that there's the Cross Arch and so on, and you're watching that. But it makes sense. It makes perfect sense that the performances are pitched absolutely right for the experience that I'm having as a viewer.
Oh good. Great.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I've never seen one.
No, nor have I.
Josh, you've done one before.
I've done one before, yeah, from actually the National Theatre. But no, I've never seen them. I've seen kind of the trailers for them and some clips of ones they did, for instance, with the first one they did with Helen Mirren. And they do an incredible job of relaying the visual and audio experience of being there in that theatre at that time. And that's the most important thing for all of us, I think, involved.
Dan, you mentioned lack of training, and that is because that's the way you came to public attention, was through film, not through going to RADA or Central or anything like that. And yet you're choosing to do quite a lot of theatre now. Is that wanting to stretch yourself as an actor, not wanting to be confined in a particular way to a particular kind of role? And also the film roles that you've taken in the last couple of years, watching Graham Norton and clips and your interviews around that, you really do seem to be trying to do as varied a set of jobs as you can.
Yeah, I mean, but I think also that's what most actors want to do. I think I get a lot of credit because people have seen me play one character for so long that it sort of surprises people, I suppose, that I am now doing lots of different stuff. But yeah, I mean, I've absolutely, like, I think any actor who, if they could, you know, just create the career for themselves that they want, would have it be as varied as possible. And in terms of doing theatre a lot, yes, I do it because I think it has been hugely influential on me in terms of being, you know, getting me better as an actor, and I love the experience of doing it. But also there's the pure fact that, like, some things you can't do on film. Like, no one's making a film of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead right now. You know, they have done in the past, but, you know, it's an incredibly theatrical thing. And so if I want to do that material and say those lines, which I do, then you do the play.
Yeah.
Josh, does his lack of training show at all?
No, absolutely not. It's, you can't tell at all.
Thank you.
I'm a bit annoyed, actually. Why did I train for 3 years? I can't believe it.
I don't want to bang on about the franchise and so on, but when somebody with the screen pulling power of Daniel Radcliffe is in a play with an actor who's perhaps, you know, not quite as far up the rang as that. I mean, what dynamic does it bring to rehearsals? Does it bring any kind of dynamic to rehearsals? Does it bring any kind of dynamic to performance? Do people go, that's, and then they forget that they're watching Daniel Radcliffe and they remember they're watching Rosencrantz and Guildenstern?
Well, in terms of rehearsals, nothing. Dan and I knew each other already. We'd worked together. Dan did a TV show called Young Doctor's Notebook, and I worked on that briefly. And then I did a play over here at the Donmar Warehouse called Privacy. And then nothing to do with either me or Dan. Dan was cast in the same role off Broadway, and we'd stayed in contact. And then when this came around, I met Tom Stoppard and David, our director, and then kind of a month later, Dan became involved, and we've got this kind of weird thing happening with our mutual careers, the fate and chance, which is quite apt for Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. But in terms of an audience and being in the theatre, yeah, I mean, of course Dan brings in an audience to see a play. This is the most important thing, that they probably wouldn't have come to see if Dan wasn't in it. And that, once you've got them through the door and they're sat down, they can be there for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
But as long as they're in there and they're seeing it and they're discovering something that they might not have seen, you know, if there's one kid who sits in that audience who sees Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, not just Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, a Tom Stoppard play for the first time, and that inspires them in any way, then surely that is job done.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and it's interesting. I think it's a good point you make. Perhaps maybe for the first 10 seconds they see Daniel Radcliffe on stage, but from then on, it's Rosencrantz all the way.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of theatre, I think.
I think so, and just to echo exactly what Josh said, like, you know, it does not matter why they come in, as long as they come in, sit down, they're going to get.
We've got them in, and we lock the doors.
Exactly. So if they come because they're a fan of Harry Potter, that's fantastic, and then they will see hopefully a really cool stop up play. I'm very happy about that.
In the '80s, they were talking about the theatre is moribund. It's only a decade or half a decade, and then the theatre will be no more. And now we have YouTube and we have Instagram and we have Snapchat and we have all of this stuff. And yet, people are still flocking to the theatres. People are still flocking to see Rosencrantz and Guildenstern at the Old Vic. And thank goodness, the kind of work that you guys do means that theatre is not dead, is not dying.
I honestly don't think it ever will be or could be. Like, there's an inherent instinctual, the drive to tell stories in human beings, which has to find some form to take. And I think there is very few substitutes for, in the same way that, you know, watching sport on TV is great, but watching it there is just some sort of different communal mass experience. There's something to watching a play with an audience full of people that is, you know, you can't replicate that any other way.
Yeah.
Is that your comment, Josh Maguire?
I agree. I can't imagine. Maybe I'm incredibly naive, but I don't think theatre will ever go away. And we're very lucky living in London and the West End and the home. You know, we've got amazing. You have the West End, you have 50th anniversaries of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and then you have theatres like the Royal Court, which is a new writing theatre. You know, I can't see it happening.
And also, it's like one of those things, like the idea that sort of, I don't know, you've got like, you know, certain things might become obsolete, like certain things might not get done, but that's more in terms of, like, in the way that, like, you know, vinyl or mini disc players became obsolete, but like people still listen to music. Like, that's never going away. The central thing is never going to go.
Good analogy.
Daniel Radcliffe and Joshua Maguire, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Talking about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, a filmed version of their stage production, will have 4 showings at the Ster Kinnikor Nouveau in Cape Town, the one down at the waterfront, on Saturday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week at 7:30 in the evening, and on Sunday week at 2:30.